And welcome to the Donna Sebo Show for an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we've got so much wonderful, wonderful information to share with you today. Be sure you have a pad of paper and a pen handy. And while we're waiting for our guest, who is going to be with us this afternoon, Kathy Kopodice, well, we're going to be finding out more about how you can make a move and make it easy. That's one of the biggest things we ever have to accomplish. So we're waiting for her phone call right at this time. But anyway, we're going to start off with some other information. Now, by the way, I want you to write down our toll-free telephone number here at bbsradio.com. It's 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And you will be able to chat with me if you like, and also we'll just have that number there for you so that you can, at any time that you so desire, call in and again chat. I wanted to bring up something relative to, well, interacting with other people. So often we have a challenge, whether we're in business for ourselves or let's say we are the head of a church committee, or we're trying to do an art exhibit of some kind that's going to involve a lot of different people. I know what it's been like when I've had to do that in the past myself. These are things that require dealing with all kinds of personalities, emergency situations, and various conditions that might not be in the everyday environment. Well, there was an article put out by Carol Bartz, who is the CEO of a software design firm, Autodesk. And she shared a lot of the things that she's learned in dealing with other people and in having to maybe sort of push people to get them to get things done or getting them to the point where they don't doubt themselves so much. And she said her way has been one of, well, helping people talk themselves out of their own lack of confidence and not sure that they can really handle things. We've all gone through moments like that. Well, the first thing she does is ask questions. And she listens to the answers to the questions that she asks. And in particular, she encourages people to tell her in great detail why they think they can't achieve a goal or solve a problem. And she said when she does that, then there's this interaction. And she has to be sincere when she's talking with them. She has to really let them know that this is something she's sincerely interested in. So, again, she's a good listener. And she said when she's getting the facts about their concerns and their feelings or perceptions, she then poses the question to them, well, how do you see that you can handle this? How do you see you can work with these obstacles? What is it that you see are the positives and the negatives? And in the course of brainstorming, she finds a fascinating phenomenon occurs. People usually, when they're brainstorming, figure out a way to do something. And they're quite surprised at how easy sometimes those resolutions are. And she said, once you get the ideas going, once you have things flowing, she said, it is amazing the resolutions that can be made. So she said, if you're working on a project, this could be related to your family, it could be related to, again, work or some special activity, remember, people often will come out with a negative idea or a response patterning if they're not aware of options that they can work with. And she said brainstorming is something that she has found that has been the best route to getting positive results. And I think that that is so very, very true. So as you're going about and interacting on whatever level you're finding your life involving you with, understand you may not be able to have an answer to a question or a concern that you have. Don't be afraid to ask other people for their ideas and their concepts. Sometimes they may just be totally off the wall and not be reasonable or worthwhile at all. Other times you'll find something will just click and you'll say, wow, that's for me. So when it comes to problem solving, this is an area that you really can get help in. And if you're like me, so many times in life you feel like you've got to do everything yourself, and boy, is that a big mistake. It's really good to reach out to other people and let them know that you're going to be able to get results, that you're going to be able to have things happen. This is so very, very important. And Brenda Euland, she made a comment. She said, why should we use all of our creative power? Because there's nothing that makes people more generous, joyful, lively, bold, and compassionate. It's amazing how we can get things done when we're willing to ask for help or willing to ask questions and even maybe say, you know, I don't even know that I know the right questions to ask. Here is the circumstance. Here is what I want as a result. What would you suggest? And toss it out and see what people come up with. It's really quite interesting when you can do this. Well, we've not gotten word from our guest yet, and so
it's... Hi, Jenna. I am on the line.
Oh, you are on the line. Oh, my goodness.
Conversation that you have. I didn't want to interrupt you.
Well, I am so glad. I'm just so tickled to death because your subject matter, the Easier Move Kit, is absolutely wonderful. And for those of you that have just tuned into the broadcast, we're going to be talking with Kathy this afternoon. And Kathy, you have put together one of the most unique packages that I have ever seen. I mean, when I got the material, I thought, gee whiz, I need to save this so that when I'm ready to move, I haven't had a major move for like 30 years. So, that is something my husband and I have often talked about. Gee whiz, what are we going to need? A caravan, of trucks when the time comes. But it is so amazing that you've chosen this subject matter of how to make a move easier. Why is it this has become your passion?
Well, actually, my husband and I moved quite a bit there for a while, and I am really an accountant by trade, and I like to have somewhat of, things organized and some control, and moving this many times, a lot of my moves were without a husband, and then when I got married, I felt I had double the stuff, and I had to have something to help me. So we created the As You Move Kit because what it does is it helps people organize their moves, and we call it the First Moving Organization System. And we just found that a well-organized move can actually be a happy and exciting experience.
And boy, that'll be a revelation to my listeners, let me tell you. I can tell you the times my memories of moves when I hardly seemingly had anything to move, it still involved a lot of planning, a lot of organization. And I remember things breaking or something would happen, friends would be helping us out, and I would think back on those times and I'd go, oh, my goodness, I'm so much wiser today. But your book, which is the Easier Move Kit, Plan It, Pack It, Move It. Now, you've just got so many wonderful things in here, but let's talk a little bit about statistics. Americans have historically always been a people that have moved frequently. They used to have a particular day in New York City that was the beginning. I think it was May 1st. It was the beginning of moving day, and this was back in the 1800s. For heaven's sake. Yeah. And people would pick up, they said it was pandemonium because people would shift at that time. I guess they had, maybe it was the 1700s, I don't know. New York's been around a long time, but they had a moving period when there was leases, everybody's leases finished. And mm-hmm. So you all had your new lease and you relocated. They said it was absolute pandemonium in the streets. And I could imagine, can you imagine what that would be like here in the U.S. of A. if we had something like that today?
Yeah, well, it still rings true. There are a lot of leases that are up May 1st. It's still very common. And, it's like May and November tend to be like the times. But, they even say today May now marks the official beginning of the moving season, which they say is like a four-month relocation period. And a lot of that has to do with people having kids in school, and they want to get moved mm-hmm. before that happens, and, So it's still, I didn't know that's where it came from, but that's very interesting statistics.
Well, it's amazing.
But it still rings true today, so.
Yeah, even today. And when you came up with a statistic from the U.S. Census Bureau, it knocked my socks off. How many of us move every year?
Yeah, 43 million people, so it's a huge number. And
boy, all of these moving companies must be doing tap dances of excitement when they get all the orders.
Well, yeah, but, you know, and they're very busy in the summer. So, you know, we try to give, you know, in our book, we asked a lot of people about, you know, moving tips and hints and, you know, what they thought was the most important. So we tried to include, like, we included some moving tips and hints and some packing tips and hints, which are important, too, especially when you're packing yourself. And then we have, like, a moving to-do list. Starts at 5 weeks out through, you know, the day of the move, so that you remember to do everything that you need to do along the way. But then, you know, the best part of the book is our inventory system that includes pages by room that you can list what's in each box, and then there's corresponding labels that are color-coded by room that you can write the number on each of the labels, so it corresponds to your inventory sheet. So, you know, you then on moving day, each box can be checked off the inventory sheet as it's unloaded. And then there's so you have a control factor to know that you have received all the boxes that you started out with.
And you also know what is important.
Yeah, and then you know what you want to unpack first, because you know what's in each box.
And that is something I can speak from personal experience, having moved and chatted with friends after it who have gone through their own moving experiences. Your material brought back a lot of memories. For those of you who are listening, this is the Ease Your Move Kit, and it's a wonderful book that if you're planning on moving, or even if you wanted to give this as a gift to a friend, it's a must-have, because it just labels things out so clearly. But not only that, it gives you, if you will, a map, a plan to work with, so that you don't feel like you're brain dead. But getting back to what I said, when I was getting ready to make a move, and this was a move across a couple of states, I knew that I had to pack everything up, and in not labeling certain boxes clearly, when they arrived, it was like weeks before I could figure out where stuff was. Or you go around and you rip open this box, or everybody's in a hurry, and if you have too many hands fooling around with stuff and you don't have things labeled or organized, you're just in a mess.
Yeah, and it adds a lot of stress to your life. You know, so if you know where things are and you can be organized in the unpacking, and even the packing, so that you know, maybe you did pack something that you say, oh my God, I still need that, or your, you know, husband decides he needs it or whatever, you know exactly where it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's helpful, because a lot of times you do have to unpack the boxes before they actually get packed up on the truck.
Oh, and that's so true. And so often we do not allow enough time. And your plan of starting out 5 weeks in advance is absolutely, absolutely so true. Now, one of the things that you mentioned that I think, one of many things, I mean, you've got so many good suggestions here. You say to make sure that you pack your passports, birth and marriage certificates, and any other valuable items in a safe place, and under no circumstances allow the movers to move these items. And I think that is so important.
Yeah, you know, we have heard horror stories from people where, you know, they had stuff in filing cabinets, and the filing cabinets might have been tampered with, or a lot of stuff was in one box, and that box just happened to not make it. And they didn't know it until, you know, a little long after the move, because it wasn't one that they had felt like they had to unpack. So that... there's just so much identity theft going on out there that we recommend not even chancing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you brought up a very good point, and that is if you have a file cabinet, you encourage people to keep stuff in the cabinet, so not to bother taking it out, just leave it right there. How would you secure your filing cabinet so that nobody could tamper with them?
Well, I mean, I think that's hard to do, actually. I would just make sure that nothing in that filing cabinet that you're moving is something that could be used, you know, again, you know, for identity theft purposes. I mean, if you have social security numbers on things, or, you know, I mean, there's things in there that, you know, make, you know, if you have, you know, estimates for your jewelry and things like that, that's not something that cause identity theft.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have some, you know, a life insurance policy that has your Social Security number on it, which a lot of them don't have that on now, but, you know, things that have something that could cause identity theft, even credit card statements would not be a good thing to leave in the, you know, mm-hmm. in the filing cabinet. I would just assume that just because it's locked doesn't mean it's safe. You know,
let me ask you a question.
Really wrapped it up, you know, with you know, maybe the you know, the paper wrapping,
mm-hmm.
not paper, but the I can't even think about, you know, they have that heavy plastic tape wrapping,
mm-hmm.
that you can wrap around it like a million times and then tape it up. And then you know for sure someone touched it.
mm-hmm.
But there, so, you know, there's ways around it, but I don't know if I would chance it myself.
I'd like to ask you a question. And it's, I think, a very big one. And that many times people like I have had an experience with have had to move across states. What do you do when you're calling moving companies? There's very few people when they're moving an entire household that can put it in like a U-Haul and drive it across a number of states. So we're going to use moving companies. How do you research moving companies? How do you evaluate the insurance policies that you want to have in place? I mean, talk about horror stories. I remember seeing a moving van that had lost control somehow, was in an accident, and all the contents had been strewn out all over a huge area when it was overturned.
Mm-hmm.
These things can happen. Life is not without its incidences. What does someone do relative to insurance? How do you evaluate moving companies? What would you recommend?
Well, you know, we recommend that, you know, number one, if you know people that have done long distance moves and use certain companies, that's a good place to start. And, you know, talk to them and get a couple names. And then I would go to the Better Business Bureau and check on these people. But, you know, I mean, like, what you're talking about is something that could happen to any of the companies, whether they're good or not.
Mm-hmm.
So,
absolutely.
You know, a lot of times for the long-distance moves, you know, the movers will not cover, you know, much at all. I think it's a rate of 60 cents per pound, limited to 10,000 per shipment. That's the coverage that they're required to carry, you know, free of charge. But normally they won't have any more than that unless they pack you. You know, they have to pack all your boxes.
Uh-huh.
And if they don't pack all your boxes, then a lot of times you can't even get insurance from them. So you have to go get your own insurance.
And how would you go? Where would you go to get your own
insurance? Well, the best places to talk to your own insurer and have them give you some options, because they're the ones that would know, you know, what you have and, you know, what you should insure. But I would go to your own insurer.
All right,
to see what coverage.
Good tip.
But, you know, in a lot of times though, if you're moving long distance, you might want to have the movers pack your boxes, and a lot of people do, because they will cover it that way.
Now,
you know, you have to kind of be watching them, you know, that's the other thing. So, and when they start packing your box, they don't put too much in one box. They charge you by the box. But,
wow.
I mean, the best thing is to talk to your own insurer and see what they would recommend.
All right. Now, here we are. We've made arrangements for the moving companies. Now, how long in advance, if you have the opportunity to do this? Sometimes people don't have very much of a time frame to work with. But if you know you're going to be moving during the summer or whatever, how far in advance would you recommend getting in touch with a moving company?
I would recommend at least a month, at the minimum a month. And if you're getting, you know, if you're doing it during the really, really peak time, 2 months is probably better if you want to get your date.
Want to get the date.
Okay,
so now we've got the date, everything is set up, we've got our insurance covered, and now we're looking at the packing. and we're looking at packing efficiently and well, and then it may, you know, people say, well, if it's a short distance, I don't need to pay too much attention. I don't agree with that because
I've seen
a lot of damage occur to things when it's even just across town. So packing is important, and you give some very, very good tips about packing, and a lot of them are, in many people's eyes, would just be considered common sense, but I like one, and I've used this one before myself in the past, using wardrobe cartons for hanging clothes. That is so wonderful. Now, you say you can rent them instead of buying them.
Yeah, most all the moving companies have them that you just pay to rent them for the day.
Okay.
So they'll sit there and help you put them in the wardrobe cartons. But that's the best way to move it. Then they can just take it in and out and put it back in your closet. And you know, a lot of times they put the shoes in the bottom, so it saves you a lot of time.
Oh, it does, and that's great. So you can just get them right from the moving company.
Yeah. You know, usually just tell them how many you think you're going to need, and you know. I think for every 2 feet of your clothes or something, you probably need a moving box, you know, a wardrobe box.
Now, you bring up some considerations that didn't even cross my mind. Of course, things have changed. Like I said, I haven't had a major move in 30 years, so God help me when that happens. But you bring up something that I would never have even thought of, and that's gratuities for the drivers, for the movers. When did that start in?
Oh, you never paid gratuities, huh?
No, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a very acceptable practice. And, you know, a lot of people don't really know, you know, how much to tip them. And, you know, a lot of times it's how good the movers are, if they're friendly, if they're helpful, if they're efficient. And, you know, they're not fooling around, so they get your moving done quickly, so they're saving you time. So you have no problem tipping them. But, you know, they say the average tip for long distance moves is like anywhere from $3 to $5 an hour. And then they say local moves is 7 to 12% of the bill is average. But,
gracious.
You know, you can tip them what you feel they're worth. You know, if you don't feel they're worth a tip, well, you know, usually you do it at the end. Some people do it at the beginning to make sure they get get these people to do a really good job. But most people do it at the end.
How times have changed. My goodness. Oh, well.
Yeah.
That just shows you that I'm getting educated here.
Yeah,
right,
you know, and the other interesting thing is nowadays they've gotten smart. And we're, you know, they used to, like, send you maybe 3 people to help you move.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember that, but I remember that because when we were younger, we moved around a lot, too. Now they're using, like, 5 people so that they can do it very quickly. And I think it's very helpful when you're moving from a condo that was an elevator, that kind of scenario.
Mm-hmm.
They can be in and out in no time at all.
Well, I think the more the merrier, because if you have 5 real strong people moving things, and if you have heavy pieces of furniture, bulky items, the more the merrier. It really, really does help, especially if they know what they're doing. It's just absolutely wonderful. Well, Kathy, also, you talk about some very practical, and again, you have so many wonderful tips in your book, The Ease Your Move Kit.
Well,
and it's plan it, pack it, move it, but getting rid of the food in your freezer, making sure that you have used everything up. If you haven't used it up, give it away. Make sure if you have a full-size freezer, you want to make sure that that's totally, totally thawed out and cleaned out. You don't have any food to worry about there. You've got so many good suggestions regarding leaving the dresser drawers and the chest of drawers full of the clothing that you've got. Just leaving it in there. You don't have to take it out and pack it separately.
Exactly.
You know, just so many good suggestions, and a very important one is don't let anything sit loosely in a box because it can really have some problems. And then your last, one of your suggestions for the very end of a move, and this is something, again, that when you think of it, it makes sense, but if you're busy and people are in there and they're moving everything and you've got 5 or 6 or 7 people that are in there in that house and they've got to get everything out of your house in just an hour and a half or 2 hours before so they can get on the road, You're saying keep the rugs on the floor until the end of the move, all of your rugs. Why?
Well, because they're going to be the first thing that you want to come off the truck. So if you put them on last, they're the first things that come off. So it makes a lot of sense to wait to put them on, you know, last, and that way they're the first things that come off, and you have your rugs down, then you put your furniture down, versus trying to put the rugs down after you already have your furniture in the room. So it makes a lot of sense.
Well, I had to chuckle because in your book you reference to Jed Clampett of the TV Hillbilly show, and how he just put Granny in her rocking chair on top of everything on a, you know, on a back of his truck and drove into Beverly Hills. Well, things don't work that way anymore. And your book is very, very clear about this. And I just think, Kathy, you and your spouse have done a wonderful job of putting together a package. A person can just pick up this book. You give them 72 useful moving to-dos. You've got all kinds of packing tips and hints and an inventory system. And you have labels in this book. You've got everything. I mean, all you have to do is pick up the book. If you're getting ready to move, you just need to go down, pick up this book, and it's the Ease Your Move Kit. It's E-A-S-E-U-R Move Kit. Before we close out, Kathy, what tips would you like to give relative to moving?
Well, can I tell them where they can find the kit?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, it's at easeyourmove.com, and if you just spell out those words, ease your move, it's all one word, .com. That's the easiest way to get to our website, where we have the Ease Your Move kit, and then we have other upgrade labels too. Because this is the Ease Your Move kit is for a 3 to 5 bedroom move. It retails for $19.99, but we have like a 4 to 5 bedroom upgrade kit, which is helpful with people with a little bit bigger houses. And then we have fragile labels, storage labels, labels for kids. So we've tried to think of everything you might need that might not be in the kit. One of my favorite tips, and my husband and I found it to be very, very helpful, is for the night of the move, if you can afford it and it makes sense for you to make a hotel reservation for the night of the move.
Oh, that's super.
You'll most likely be really tired, and a lot of people didn't get around to putting their beds together. I've heard that from numerous people. And we just found, you know, you have kids, a lot of times these hotels have pools, so, I mean, it would just be a nice treat for everybody. And you definitely deserve a treat. So we've done that the last 3 moves, and it's just been heaven, pure heaven.
Absolutely.
So, we have just found that people have saved a lot of time in movers' time. The movers love this system. It makes it so simple. I have one of our customers called me the other day, and she said, I had a mover, he only spoke Spanish, because our labels are in English and Spanish. He had so much fun. He knew exactly where all the boxes went, and he didn't speak a word of English.
That's great. Well, what a fabulous way to end this interview. If you're ready to move and you want this, go to easeyourmove.com. That's easeyourmove.com. Kathy Kolpadice, thank you so very much for being my guest. It's been an absolute joy having you, and I wish you the best in all your future moves. And for those of you listening, we are going to have open phone lines, 877-876-5227. Don't you go away. We're not moving from this spot, and not for a while anyway, so don't you go away. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Donna. Well, now that you're all ready to move and you're going to have everything in order, if you would like to chat with me and let me light up your life with a little bit of insight, give me a call at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. I wanted to share a question with you that someone asked me the other evening. I had the occasion to enjoy some fellowship with some wonderful, wonderful friends and their family, and they brought up a question when they found out that I was a psychic, and they said, Donna, how does it work with you? What is it that goes on? what do you need from me? And I said, well, nothing really. And so we had a conversation after that where this one woman who was from Russia made the comment that this was something in her culture that was very much accepted. And then someone else said, well, you know, I don't know. I'm so logical. I don't know that I could go in for the psychic stuff. So our conversation ended up going into many different levels of understanding about what psychic ability can be. And the truth is that psychic ability can demonstrate itself in an unbelievable array of conditions, circumstances, demonstrations. It's absolutely incredible. And whenever anybody tries, in my mind, to put things into a little box and say, this is the only way something is done, this is the only way it can be done, these are the absolutes here, there, and everywhere, I always back away from that. Because for every person that is curious about the demonstration of psychic intuitive ability, there is always that particular way it'll demonstrate through them. And the one story that I would like to share with you this afternoon relative to that, and I don't know why this popped up into my head, but it did. There was a young lady that was in some development classes. And I happened to know the person that was this young lady's teacher. And this individual was trying to educate those that were coming into her classes about how if you see someone from the other side of life, it could be a loved one, it could be someone that's just passed over, whatever, when they come into your space, you don't need to be afraid of it. Well, there was this one young lady that had a passionate desire to have an experience of being able to see someone that had passed on. She said, this is very, very important to me. So the teacher of this particular class asked her why. She said, well, you know what? I think it's just to cure the skeptic in me. Because I've always been fascinated how I've interacted in your class with people that have seen loved ones or have seen this spook or that spook or whatever. And I'm being a little facetious when I'm using the word spook. But she said, I just really would like to have the experience. So the teacher said to her, you need to be thoughtful about what you really wish for, because if you really want it badly enough, it will come to you, but you never know how it's going to happen. So one of the things I want you to be aware of as a student is always when you're sincerely expressing that desire, ask for the highest and the best in the way of a demonstration. Well, as it turned out, this young lady had a cat, and her cat had been with her for many years. This young lady was in her 20s, and the cat had been her companion since she had been, close to puberty. And as she was getting older, she realized that her cat wasn't going to be with her for 20, 25 years. And she was getting older, and she was becoming a little bit feeble, but not very much so. Well, this one particular evening, she decided she was going to go to bed a little bit early, and her cat always slept with her. Well, she was awakened during the night very suddenly, and she knew where her cat was because her cat was sitting up and was looking directly at something, and this was such unusual behavior for her cat. And so she was watching the animal, and then all of a sudden she saw a wonderful, wonderful form. She said it was this woman who just seemed to glow, and there wasn't a sound, and my cat was sitting there on the edge of the bed and just looking at this woman, and this woman was there. It was very quiet, and all of a sudden I realized, I'm seeing a ghost. I'm seeing a spirit. And she said, I got scared from the top of my head down to the tip of my toes. I pulled the covers up over my head, and she said, what happened after that really touched her heart and mind deeply. Her cat settled down after a while, just curled up, and then when she went back to sleep and awakened in the morning, she found her cat had passed away. Now, for those of you listening, that may sound like a sad story. She was naturally very sad about the passing of her beloved friend. However, she said there was this awareness that came over her that she had been given a very special gift, and that was the gift of seeing that her cat was being communicated with someone from the other side of life, and that the animal knew that it was going to be passing away. And so this was a gift that had been given to her. But I had to chuckle after she related this story to me, and I said, well, how does this make you feel? She said, I feel like I have been gifted something very special. But she said, I'll tell you what, I don't think I ever want to see another ghost. At the same time, she felt gifted. She also felt a little bit overwhelmed, and she said, my teacher was right. You have to be thoughtful about what you ask for, because you may end up getting it in a way that you would not expect. But I share that story with you because so many times when we see television programs or we're involved in discussions with people, we'll be aware of somebody else's experience, and we may say, gee, I wish that would happen with me. And that's not a good or bad desire. It's merely something that when you state it, you need to know that sometimes you may have a situation that would be totally, completely unusual and unexpected. And I can relate to one experience I had. This is many years ago, and to this day, I still don't know who the individual was. But I was living in a community in California, and I was a single mom at that time, and my little girl was in her own bedroom, and I was in another room, and I was awakened, absolutely awakened. It was like somebody shook me out of a deep sleep. And I can remember looking at a doorway, and I watched this individual who had to be over 6 feet tall, and he was in Russian garb, had on one of those Russian hats like they wear during the winter to protect their heads. And he walked from my front, my door that I was seeing, to my kitchen. And not a word said, and I can remember just watching the whole thing. I was wide awake, and then he just conveniently disappeared. To this day, I have no idea who this person was. I have no idea why he decided that I needed to be awakened and why he was showing himself, but it was a very real experience. And I can remember just being so wide awake watching this and going, I wonder what this means. And like I said, to this day, I still don't have an answer. These experiences happen to make us aware as individuals that there's a lot more going on in life that we may not always be able to explain rationally. But there's so many experiences I've had, and I know there's so many of you listening to the show, you've had your own particular experiences, and that's why I love this work so much and why it has been so significant in my life. And in a million years, I never, ever would have dreamed that this was going to be my professional involvement and my passion. So I'm always delighted to share with you on the air my skills and my gifts as an intuitive. And if you'd like to share that with me, 877-876-5227 is the telephone number to call into. And by the way, don't forget, these shows are archived on bbsradio.com, and you can go in and listen to the shows at your leisure. Tell your friends about this wonderful, wonderful opportunity to listen to all types of programming. And remember, we have guests from all over the world on the Donna Sebo Show who we're happy to bring to your attention, because they may have a gift for you that you will be happy to accept. Now remember, I said have that pad of paper handy. It's summertime, and the temps are going to be rising and maintaining that delightful level, and the sun's just beaming. So having something cold and chocolatey, doesn't that appeal to you? Well, chocolate is one of my favorite foods, and I have something here for a chocolate milkshake, also a chocolate ice cream soda. Now, does that have you salivating a little bit? Let's make the chocolate milkshake. This is how simple it is. All you're going to need is 2 cups of ice-cold milk. You want it really, really cold. And then you're going to need 3 tablespoons of drinking chocolate powder. And I like the dark chocolate myself. But maybe you like milk chocolate. Or maybe you like some of the flavored chocolate. So it's your choice, whatever you like. Then you're going to need 3 scoops of chocolate ice cream and maybe a little bit of unsweetened cocoa powder just for that special touch, that little bit of decoration. And here it is. All you have to do is take a blender, Put half of your ice-cold milk in the blender. Add the chocolate powder, your 3 tablespoons of your chocolate powder, to the blender and 1 scoop of the chocolate ice cream. And you want to blend it until it's nice and frothy and very, very well mixed. And then you want to stir in the remaining milk. And what you do, and you better have a big glass for this one, you place the remaining 2 scoops of chocolate ice cream into your serving glass. If you want a big portion, maybe you want to share it with a friend. Maybe you need 2 serving glasses, okay? And then you carefully pour the chocolate milk, icy cold milk, over the ice cream. And that is your chocolate milkshake. And you can sprinkle a little bit of the unsweetened cocoa over the top of each drink. And, of course, you're going to serve it right away. Who's going to want to wait around for that? That's going to be gone in about 3 minutes. But if you want to make a chocolate ice cream soda, then what you want to do is use these ingredients. You want 5 tablespoons of chocolate dessert sauce. That's all, 5 tablespoons of chocolate dessert sauce. You're going to need a little bit of soda water and 2 scoops of chocolate ice cream. How about some heavy cream? You want to whip that in advance. And some dark or milk chocolate grated. Now, this is for your chocolate ice cream soda. Now, what you do, you divide the chocolate dessert sauce between 2 glasses. And you can use the ready-made chocolate dessert sauce, or you can make up one of your own. There's so many delicious ones out there. They have such delicious flavors, too. So your imagination is the limit here, of which there is no limit. Now, what you're going to do is add a little soda water to each glass and stir to combine the sauce and the soda water. And then you place a scoop of ice cream in each glass and top with more soda water. Mm-hmm. Then a little bit of that whipping cream and shaving of chocolate. Ooh, good stuff. Perfect for a cold day. Chocolate ice cream soda or, well, whatever you want to call it. Milkshake, whatever. It's good stuff. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't you go away now. More good things to share. Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like for me to give you some intuitive insight, 877-876-5227. Now, I know I just finished giving you a recipe for scrumptious chocolate, and you might say, Donna, I don't know, you know, that's so good, but I don't know that I want to do it. Let me share something with you this afternoon about a young woman. Her name is Emmy. And she's from New Jersey, and I've got a picture of Emmy in front of me, and she's just as cute as she can be. And this is a young lady that is described as a larger-than-life model. And her story is so amazing to me that I just thought I had to share it with you. Because if you're like me, you've always had to work with being attentive to what you eat. You go, oh, gee whiz, 2 minutes on the lips, and it's 45 years on the hips or some equivalent thereof. So we're always trying to pay attention. We get frustrated. You know, diet here, diet there. Well, her story is so impressive. I just really like her. She said, you know, I don't believe in any kind of fad diet. She said, I eat balanced meals. And she said, if you were to meet me today and sit down and chat with me, you would say, this is a gal who's really comfortable in her own skin. And she said, you know what? I've not always been that way. She is a professional model. She's what's described as a full-figured model. And she said, that didn't happen overnight. She said, I wasn't born with instant self-confidence. It's taken her a long time to develop a very good feeling about herself, her body, and the size that she is. And her photo, she's not what I'd consider big at all. And she said she had to come into a sense of understanding about it because at 1990, or I should say in 1990, that was the beginning of her career, she landed an absolutely wonderful modeling job for jeans, and this guy comes in, and he's this hotshot photographer, and he was going to do the shoot for the jeans, and she said, that morning, while everybody's getting ready for the shoot, I picked up a box of pastries for the crew, and I went into the studio, and the makeup guy that was working with her said, boy, this is a first. All the models I've ever known are on cigarettes and coffee. And the photographer turned to her and said something. It was just appalling. I'm not shooting that fatty, is what he said. I'm not shooting that fatty. And he stomped out. And she was just devastated. I mean, she hadn't even said a word to this guy. He didn't say hello, nothing. He just made this appalling remark. And she turned her mind around. She said, I've worked so hard on my attitude, I'm not going to let somebody do this to me with one negative remark. And she said, over the years, because this is a large woman, she's big boned, she's tall, and she said, we need to learn a few things. One is to accept ourselves the way we are. And she said, there were members of my family that really had problems with food, and I ended up adopting those problems with food. And so she learned how to accept herself as she was. Also, she said, focus on what your gift is. Whatever that gift is, you're meant to share it. She found out she had a gift for sports, hadn't a clue about it, ended up being part of a rowing team, and did absolutely phenomenally well because she was a larger-than-average person, and she had the muscle. She had everything needed to really be good at it. And she said, you need to try. You need to not only believe in yourself and your gifts, but you need to use them. And trying, she said, is believing. And most of all, you need to have a good sense of humor. She said she has learned that that has been absolutely so valuable for her. She said, you either laugh at the sad moments in life, or you're going to end up crying, and you'll run out of Kleenex. So you just need to keep on going. And she said, go for what is closest to your heart. And I've got a picture of her in front of me that shows her on a billboard in Times Square. And if you've ever had a chance to be in Times Square, you know they are huge, these billboards. And there she is, and she's just beautiful. She's absolutely wonderful to look at, but she is the first full-figured model to appear, again, on a billboard in Times Square. And she said she had never even considered that this is something that she could do. She just happened to walk into a modeling agency, and they saw her walk in, took one look at her, and said, you're perfect. We want you to start work right away. Sounds sort of like a fairy story, doesn't it? Fairy tale come true. However, she said, I have learned that I have to be committed to self-acceptance, self-confidence, and knowing that the way I am is just fine. This is Donna Sebo. It's been a delight sharing this time with you. And remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. And just like Emmy, you may have something spectacular happen to you that in a million years you would never, ever think would be your opportunity or your experience. But it's going to be yours alone. Whatever you do, don't pass it by. Accept it. This is your day. This is the day you're living. I want you to live it to the fullest and enjoy all of the good things that come wrapped in its delicious packaging of life. Donna Sebo here. God bless. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.